Welcome back. This is the second in our seven-part series on EFT and sex and intimacy. We're thrilled that you have decided to join us in this web-based exploration of how EFT can have a profound healing effect on your intimate relationships. We are the team of Dr. Craig Wiener and Alina Frank, EFT practitioners and teachers from beautiful Whidbey Island, Washington, where some people erroneously may say that we have a climate conducive to indoor activities. But today, the sun is shining and it's a beautiful summer day. In our last class, we took a look at why sex is important for healthy bodies and healthy relationships. We worked on tapping to explore what fears or what resistances might be hindering you and how a greater sense of freedom in this arena will benefit your ever-expanding life. Today's class is titled The Monsters Under the Bed. This refers to what sexually related memories are lurking around and may be playing a role in your mind. Emotions that you experienced in the past might still consciously or unconsciously be causing you physical pain or dysfunction, may be restricting your innate expression of physical love, your sexuality, and may be getting in the way of your creating deep closeness and intimacy in your relationship. We will explore the topics of childhood experiences, adolescent emergent sexuality, sexual abuse, and past unhealthy relationships.
Sexual abuse can be defined as being coerced, manipulated, tricked, or forced into sexual activity. It can include adult, childhood, or adolescent sexual abuse. We aren't just talking about physical contact leading to genital or anal intercourse either. It could include fondling, voyeurism, exposure, or oral genital contact, digital penetration, and more. I really never suspected just how prevalent this is in our society until I became an EFT practitioner. I work with clients on a daily basis to remove the trauma that these stored memories have created. If you personally feel that some traumas are too overwhelming to deal with on your own, please consider working with a professional. We recommend that when reviewing our materials, you remain under the guidance and care of your traditional allopathic practitioner and or physician when using EFT or any of the techniques we have placed before you. Sexually related memories are very powerful and often hibernate, hide, and fester in our memories, just waiting to be triggered and return with life-changing effects. Do you think that the S&M magazine your Uncle Bob showed you when you were 9 may be rattling around in your psyche and possibly affecting what you explore or don't explore sexually with your partner? What about the time that your best friend and you were playing doctor and your mother caught and spanked you? Do you think that that might be affecting your ability to be vulnerable or playful in intimate circumstances? Have you been in an actual or near date rape situation? How might that affect your willingness to open up and meet new potential romantic partners? What if you touched your younger sibling inappropriately in the bathtub when she was under your care? Could the feelings of guilt or shame that you may be harboring from these events be responsible for your frigidity, premature ejaculations, or erectile dysfunction? Are those ghosts still lingering in the bedroom when you try to feel amorous with your partner? What's the best way to determine whether they're still affecting you? Why don't you go ahead right now and test to see if they are? If your heart just suddenly froze and you went into a panic when I said that, then you're definitely still experiencing the ill effects of that traumatic memory. Again, if these memories are too painful to revisit now, then I urge you to work with a professional. Even if you don't have some deep, dark skeleton in your closet, you should take the time to write the list of times in your past that are still troublesome. A personal example of what I mean was that several times as a teenager, actually a young teenager, I witnessed men masturbating and exposing themselves in front of me in various public scenarios. I never thought that these disturbing memories were having an ill effect on me, but then I asked myself what I was really feeling about those times, and I noticed that I was still carrying some anger. You bastard! How could you do such a disgusting thing in front of me? Did you really think that I would be turned on by that, or was your intention to gross me out? I was only an innocent girl who had never even seen a penis before. This anger and resentment showed up in the darndest places. For example, when I had a man in my life ask me to look at something that I wasn't really ready at the time to look at. For instance, my boyfriend innocuously would say, "Hey, honey, could you look at this proposal for me now?" And I'd feel irrationally and inexplicably angry. That logically makes no sense, but in my mind, it had created this connection to those obnoxious men. "What, can't you see I'm not interested? I don't want to participate now. Do you think that you could ask me if I'm free first, politely? Could you be more considerate?" This sounds completely ridiculous to me. And at first, I thought it wasn't relevant at all. But then I started to think that it might be true, and I decided to work on it. Remember that traumatologists now report that you only need two ingredients for lasting impact of a traumatic memory. One, fear, and two, hopelessness. And in those moments, in the parking lot of the mall, the secluded beach, and in the dark alley, I had experienced both fear and a sense of hopelessness.
When we look at the differing issues from a gender perspective between men and women, we see both commonalities and differences. Both maturing boys and girls learn how to express their sexuality through, well, observing role models, their parents, teachers, etc., combined with the natural physical development and increasing hormonal influences on their bodies. Behavior modeling is often shaped by parental influences, especially by the household parental figures, also significantly by all the media stereotypes that are replayed over and over and over on the silver screen images or in glossy magazines, by peers, and none of these commonly present a healthy and balanced picture of what a loving, accepting, diverse, healthy sexual relationship and behavior can be. Early sexual behavior often begins with, well, masturbation or self-pleasuring. This is often a secret and clandestine activity that is talked about, especially by young boys, for years before they actually partake in it. Moral and religious judgments can play an important shaping role in the creation of guilt and shame around this activity. Parental attitudes toward male or female self-pleasuring activities, whether it be supportive or judgmental, can have long-standing effects on how a developing young person feels about whether they deserve good things in their life, especially regarding giving and receiving pleasurable things, especially regarding their bodies. Personally, I could remember a lot of stress associated with masturbation as I struggled through my early adolescence. I had my share, of course, of dog-eared Playboy and Penthouse magazines that were hidden what I thought were the safest and most secret hiding places, under the mattress and in the back of my closet. I remember an incredible amount of stress that was associated for me with not making the slightest sound, well, with having my attention split between the new and wonderful physical sensations that I was feeling and two ears that were very highly attuned to any sound of any footsteps coming down the stairs from my parents or siblings. Well, in my childhood home, we had no locks on any of our bedroom doors, so fear was appropriate. That dual tension of pleasure mixed with fear set up very early patterns that for a long time limited my ability to fully relax or receive physical pleasure, because part of my attention was, well, always watching, listening, anxious and on edge, waiting for the moment that everything would just have to stop. My most embarrassing moment that I remember in this arena was when I was about 13 years old. And I remember after a night of enjoying, I had hastily put away my personal library underneath the bed, and I had forgot to put it under the mattress. When I came home the next day from school, I rushed quickly back to my bedroom to correct the slip-up. And to my great shock and embarrassment, I found that somehow my magazines had made their way back to my quote-unquote secret closet library, but never a word was spoken. Oh my God, what did my mother think of me now that she knew something about my, well, personal activities? This concern for what somebody else thought about my sexuality may have been the reason why in my early adulthood I felt so restricted in being able to freely communicate what I wanted or what gave me pleasure.
These near-universal early forays into sexual pleasure teach developing adolescents to reach climax quickly before anyone discovers them, to develop sexual activity that is not free and open, but instead secretive and hidden. And this implies that there is something inherently wrong and dirty with it. Many others have had far more traumatic, embarrassing caught moments. The unconscious decisions that can often follow these events may cause men to develop the condition of premature ejaculation, guaranteeing that lovemaking will be short enough to not get caught. Another strategy might be just the opposite. That adrenaline rush associated with getting caught can be incredibly stimulating. Do you feel a compulsion to continually seek compromising circumstances to recreate the titillation? Do you find yourself most excited by creating amorous experiences on nighttime airplane flights under the blanket? Or perhaps you just happen to find yourself parking in public lots or using unisex restrooms more than your bladder requires? These would all be signs of effects that may be very well linked to those late-night teenage explorations into the world of sexuality. Your earliest sexual experiences with another can have profound lingering effects. These, more often than not, are filled with fear, embarrassment, lack of any real knowledge, or successful training, and can be emotional roller coaster rides. Some are doused with paranoia of being caught, produce guilt, or are overcast with the fear of getting pregnant. All these driven by surging hormones and the desire for pleasure. The repercussions of first sexual experiences can lead to emotions and decisions regarding sexuality that can last a lifetime. The openness and vulnerability that a young person feels at this time allows for even the slightest comment to have powerful effects on self-image and how one sees oneself as a sexual being.
Sexual abuse statistics, well, they're mind-boggling. Actually, 1 in 6 women, that's 1 in 6 women, and 1 in 33 men have experienced an attempted or completed rape sometime in their lifetime. According to the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, 25% of college women will have been raped during their college years. And among high school students surveyed, around 8% report that they were forced into sex. And remember, these are only the cases that victims are willing to recount, so you can just imagine what the real numbers must be. As we said earlier, the range of sexual abuse can be from the very subtle to the incredibly violent. If you have not personally been victimized, know that it's very possible that your partner might have been. Perhaps you were an adolescent girl that was going through puberty. And part of the teasing at school included having young boys ogle or stare at your breasts repeatedly over and over. Maybe they pulled at your t-shirt or snapped your bra. Well, maybe it wasn't violent, but it still can have a profound and dramatic effect. Perhaps you were 10 years old and you were being bathed by your babysitter, whether it be your aunt or uncle or friend, and you just intuitively felt unsafe, like somehow their eyes or towel-wrapped hands crossed over a line of decency and appropriateness. Maybe you had a preteen sleepover with a group of your friends, and one of the other children seemed to accidentally, or maybe not so accidentally, brush against your genitals or press up against you in a way that made you feel very uncomfortable or even violated. We seek to try to disconnect the associations and connections to these events from our present lives. We could be living out presently risky behaviors or poor judgments when choosing partners because of these things that happened in the past. We may have some physical condition as a result of past emotional pain. Or it might be that you show up as not being fully present, or connected, or trusting, or free of inhibitions with your lover, which has resulted in limiting just how great sex could be. For this work to be real, for you, for it to have personal application, for it to be powerful, you're going to want to take a look at not only the obviously painful sexually related stories that you've already recanted in your journal or telling your therapist, but you must be willing to look at other events that may even be more subtle. Ones that do have emotional connections, but you didn't realize were still causing you to have either limiting beliefs or maybe even to make poor decisions. So what we're going to do is we're going to list an array of scenarios that might be close enough to your personal history that may trigger some memories for you. We invite you to take time after listening to this recording and go ahead and journal on some of the following possible scenarios.
Now, let's list your embarrassing sexual encounters. Maybe the time you suggested to your partner a new sexual menu item and you were made to feel like your preferences were disgusting or wrong. What about the time as an adolescent that other kids saw your naked body at camp or in the shower and made fun of you? For women, how embarrassing was a time when other children became aware of your menstrual cycle? Or the time that suggestive catcalls were yelled at you from a group of men at a football game? Or a possible wardrobe malfunction with some piece of clothing not holding up its end while dancing at a wedding or frolicking in the ocean waves. And for men, what about the time that for some unexplained reason you found yourself unable to rise to the occasion? Or the time that a woman made an unkind reference to the status or size of your genitals? Or hearing some rumor that was started by a disgruntled ex-girlfriend about your lackluster bedroom performance?
Okay, next. Start listing ways and very specific instances when you somehow felt violated, or maybe you were coerced sexually. For women, was there a time that a boy or a man inappropriately exposed himself to you? Do you have a memory of being grabbed, maybe while you were walking down the street, or you were at a crowded concert, or maybe at a bar or some dance? Maybe there was an early sexual experience of a boyfriend pressuring you to have intercourse before you were really ready. Or maybe you're performing some sexual variation that you somehow felt obligated to perform with your partner. You really felt that it wasn't okay for you, but you didn't want to risk losing his or her affection. For men, it might be more subtle, though not necessarily. Was there an experience where a woman came on just too forcefully for your taste and you felt overwhelmed or violated by her aggressiveness? Was there an example of another man that maybe made it uninvited gestures to you sexually? Did you witness a violent sexual image, like a rape in a movie or a disturbing pornographic image, or even in person that still has some lingering clarity in your mind when you think about it? Go ahead, list your memories for this topic.
Now, let's list some troublesome sexual moments within a romantic relationship. The topic of infidelity is a strong trigger here. The results include the ensuing mistrust within the relationship, the self-doubts with regards to one's own desirability, the feelings of resentment, anger, hopelessness, inability to communicate or repair the wound. The after effects can go on and on. What about the taboo of saying out loud that your sexual needs weren't being met by your partner? If all your partners were lousy in bed, you might develop an expectation that all you're going to get in the future are selfish, mediocre lovers. If you had lovers in the past that liked certain things in bed, but definitely not other things, then you may have adjusted to the idea that it was wrong for you to want those other things, and you just might never get them.
Now, let's list examples of inappropriate boundary breaking by someone from your past. In perhaps your motherless childhood home, maybe your father made you feel like his wife in some way that just felt wrong, like somehow you were his partner or his confidant. Maybe your father never fully closed or locked the bathroom door to a shower, which allowed for examples and instances of unexpected, viewing. Maybe either one or both your parents or an older sibling somehow disrobed or undressed in a way that made you feel uncomfortable. Your mother or your father's misguided attempts to monitor or check your anatomy for physical changes or well-being insulted your ideas of privacy. Maybe your bedroom door may have been frequently opened at inopportune moments without anybody knocking or announcing their entry. Maybe you discovered that a very personal item, maybe like your diary, was discovered and read without your permission.
Next, what about listing any sexual situations where you still harbor guilt or shame? This might include the regret of past abortion, or as a man, if your partner had an abortion and you felt guilt, shame, or the burden of responsibility for it. Sexual exploration by children of the same sex is not that uncommon. Are you still feeling shame, and perhaps are you fearful that you might have latent homosexual tendencies?
Next, do you have any memories of when you may have incited or maybe hold yourself responsible for a sexual advance or attack on you of some sort? Do you still hold on to some thoughts or feelings that you somehow provoked or invited an encounter by the way you acted or dressed or what you said and how you may have put yourself in some scenario location that you now regret?
Now examine your first sexual experiences and list any negative emotions that might need to be released. Were you too young as you look back now as an adult? Do you regret the circumstances of your first sexual encounter? Was it painful? Was it risky? Did you feel like a complete idiot because you didn't know what you were doing? That it was nothing like you had heard? That it was with someone that you shouldn't have been with? Or it happened in the most unromantic of places? What were the repercussions of the event? Were you dumped? Did you get pregnant? Did you get an infection? Did you have to confront your parents? Did you have to tell your pediatrician or go to Planned Parenthood? Lastly, the topic of lingering sexual traumatic memories related to childhood, as well as associated shameful feelings of pleasure connected to the event in this topic, is extremely important, and one that may be left to addressing with a professional. In my experience with working with survivors of childhood sexual abuse and related post-traumatic stress disorder, the key is to break the event down into smaller and smaller increments. The more traumatic the event, the greater is the need to isolate the specifics of the event. If an act lasted for 5 minutes, and we were to make the analogy of a movie of the event lasting for 5 minutes, then you might have to tap on individual movie frames. For example, first, he pulled down his pants. Next frame. Then, I saw his penis. Next frame. Then, he said, come over here. It may take an hour to work through the event frame by frame and tap through all related aspects of 1 5-minute encounter. This is when the help of a professional would be beneficial.
Okay, it's time for you to get involved now, and we're going to go ahead and do some tapping. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to think of a memory that happened to you sometime early in your life, and it had created a feeling of embarrassment. Something to do with your body or your sexuality. Maybe it was a time that you were caught in some compromising position. When you have that memory, what we're going to do is we're going to begin tapping. And remember, with the tapping, I will be saying the phrase, and you're going to repeat it back out loud with Alina while you're on your tapping points. Now, it's very important to say the phrases out loud and not just think the phrases in your head or just listen to me. Remember, if you really want to change your life, if you really want to heal yourself, you're going to want to follow these steps exactly. So let's begin. Start tapping on your karate chop point on the side of your hand and repeat after me. Even though I have this embarrassing memory that I try to forget.
Even though I have this embarrassing memory that I try to forget.
And I think that I've done all the work around it that needs to be done, but it's not really done.
And I think that I've done all the work around it that needs to be done, but it's really not done.
I can fully accept myself.
I can fully accept myself.
Even though it feels like rehashing this memory will just bring back more embarrassment.
Even though it feels like rehashing this memory will bring back more embarrassment.
And I don't really want to deal with it one more time.
And I really don't want to deal with it one more time.
I can accept myself and my resistance anyway.
I can accept myself and my resistance anyway.
And even though I've never really yet let go of this embarrassing story.
And even though I have yet never really let go of this embarrassing story.
I can hold the possibility that I will be able to let this go and to accept myself fully in the future.
I can hold the possibility that I will be able to let this go and accept myself fully in the future.
Okay, on top of the head. When I think about this moment, I feel embarrassed.
When I think about this moment, I feel embarrassed.
Third eye. I wish it never happened.
I wish it never happened.
Eyebrow point. I should have known better than to put myself in that position.
I should have known better than to put myself in that position.
Side of eye. I feel so stupid.
I feel so stupid.
Under eye. Retelling the story makes me ashamed of myself.
Retelling the story makes me feel ashamed of myself.
Under nose, I try to never reveal this part of myself.
I try to never reveal this part of myself.
Chin point, I thought I healed this old story in therapy already.
I thought I healed this old story in therapy already.
Collarbone, but obviously it's still there.
But obviously it's still there.
Underarm, maybe I can offer myself a little bit of kindness about this.
Maybe I can offer myself a little bit of kindness about this.
Top ahead. I know these kinds of things happen to kids.
I know these kinds of things happen to kids.
Third eye. I know that I'm certainly not the only person in the world that this happened to.
I know that I'm certainly not the only person in the world that this has happened to.
Eyebrow. Holding on to this embarrassment does not create any healing for me.
Holding on to this embarrassment does not create any healing for me.
Side of eye, I now have greater wisdom and understanding than I did back then.
I now have greater wisdom and understanding than I did back then.
Under nose, I can hold greater compassion for myself and others that may have gone through this situation.
I can hold greater compassion for myself and any others that have gone through a similar situation.
Chin point, I even hold the possibility that there could be some humorous aspect to this story that I've been unwilling to let myself feel before.
I even hold the possibility that there could be some humorous aspect to this story that I have been unwilling to let myself feel before.
Collarbone, this story was only one moment in thousands of moments in my life.
This story was only one moment in thousands of moments in my life.
Underarm, I am ready and I'm willing to forgive myself and anybody else involved in this story.
I am ready and willing to forgive myself and anybody else involved with this story.
At top of head, I hold the possibility that it's time to let any remaining angst about this memory dissolve.
I hold the possibility that it's time to let any remaining angst about this memory dissolve. We know that we've shed some light on those monsters lurking under the bed. The vast majority of those examples, by the way, came directly from my private practice with clients who were still haunted by memories of painful pasts. For your homework assignment this week, go back over the examples that we have provided for you and tap through all those unresolved memories that were stirred up and revealed during this class. Remember, the more specific, the better. Next time we meet, we'll be teaching you how impaired self-image or low self-esteem can wreak havoc on your sex life and what you can do to appreciate and adore the mirror over the bed. And until then, remember,
keep on tapping.